ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, The Character of Bharat Maharaj, Text 21. We read Text 21 yesterday, now it's 22 and 23.
Asida havishi barhishi dushite mayo palabdho bhita bhita sapadi uparatarasa Rishi Kumaravat Avahita Karanakalapaste.
When I placed all the sacrificial ingredients on the kusha grass, the deer, when playing, would touch the grass with its teeth and thus pollute it. When I chased the deer by pushing it away, it would immediately become fearful and sit down motionless, exactly like the son of a saintly person. Thus it would stop its play. Purport. Bharat Maharaj was constantly thinking of the activities of the deer, forgetting that such meditation and diversion of attention was killing his progress in spiritual achievement.
Next verse. Kimva are acharitam tapas tapasvi niyanaya yati yamma vinihi savinaya krishna sara tanayat mutara subhaga shivarat shivata makara kura pada panki bhir dravina viduratu rasya kripanasya mama dravina adavim suchayanyatmanam cha sarvata krita kautukam dvijanam svarga pavarga kamanam deva yajanam karoti.
After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharaj Bharat got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, "O unfortunate Bharata, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penance and austerity undergone by this earth planet. Due to the earth's severe penance, the footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, most auspicious and soft, are imprinted on the surface of this fortunate planet. This series of footprints show a person like me, who am bereaved due to the loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest, and how I can regain my lost wealth. By these footprints, this land has become a proper place for Brahmanas who desire heavenly planets or liberation to execute sacrifices to the demigods." It is said that when a person becomes overly involved in loving affairs, he forgets himself as well as the others, and he forgets how to act and how to speak. It is said that once, when a man's son was blind since birth, the father, out of staunch affection for the child, named him Padma Lochan, or Lotus Eyed. This is the situation arising from blind love. Bharat Maharaj gradually fell into this condition due to his material love for the deer. It is said in the Smriti Shastra, "Yasmin deshe mriga krishnas tasmin dharman ivodata." The track of land wherein the footprints of a black deer can be seen is to be understood as a suitable place to execute religious rituals. Om Gyanati Mandasya Gyanam Jana Shalaka Chukshu Minitam Yatasmai Shri
Mukam Kruti Vachalam Pangamanga Digrimit Kripatara Ham Mandi Shigurum Dinatarinam Pramanam Namah.
Mother Urmila, you were not around, otherwise you would have been asked to speak spontaneously. Because Yadunand Maharaj was scheduled to give another class and Manu Harprabhu is sick and he couldn't arrange. So he went to give the other class and I was in front of Maharaj. There's the second canto Bhaktivedanta, right? For some of the students. It's every Thursday and somehow there was miscommunication. So I'll try to say something in the line of yesterday discussion. So here the reasoning of Bharat Maharaj continues, and it's not actually reasoning, it's just pouring out of his emotions of affection for the deer, and he is coming to the state where Prabhupada says he forgets himself and the others, he forgets how to act and how to speak, and this is when one becomes overly involved and loving affairs. So in the case of Bharat Maharaj and involvement with the deer, it is obviously a diversion of his attention, and that was killing his progress and spiritual achievement. And that is also the case with any other loving affairs which are not directed towards Krishna. If we fall in love with any other subject, then our spiritual progress will be late. So therefore it's of primary importance that we desire and long to develop such a strong affection and love for Krishna so that there is no danger of becoming diverted in such a way. And this strong affection is arisen spontaneously in the heart. That's what Rupa Goswami says in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the process of sadhana bhakti, the definition of sadhana bhakti, is that which awakens the eternal bhava, nityasiddhasya bhavasya, in the heart of the practitioner. So when this bhava gradually awakens, then we become involved in loving affairs with Krishna, and even we can forget how to act and how to speak properly, and there are examples of that. You know, devotees during Krishna's pastimes, of course, we hear the description when the gopis heard the flute in the beginning of the autumn season, Krishna desired to be also involved in romantic affairs, so he saw the moon, the full moon, and all the setup arranged by Yogamaya. So actually he engaged Yogamaya in preparing everything for these pastimes, so he went and started playing his flute, and the gopis heard the sound, and then whatever they were doing, they left it and ran away. And those who were putting their makeup couldn't finish it. Those who were dressing couldn't finish dressing up properly, and they ended up coming in front of Krishna with having the top dress at the bottom and the bottom at the top, and one eye with kanjal and the other without, or I don't know what else was mixed, but I think that was a funny scene to look at from Krishna's point of view. But that's an example of being completely overwhelmed by loving feeling. They acted in such a way, seemingly forgetting what is proper and what not. But that's actually what pleases Krishna so much. And he himself forgets about his position as God, and he also does similar things. There are many pastimes where he forgets himself, and then he does also very strange things. And also in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there are many, many examples like that. Devotees acting seemingly improperly on the social level, just like one devotee, Mukunda Dasa, is the brother of Narahari Sarkar, very dear devotees to Lord Chaitanya. They were living in near Katwa in Shrikanda. So it's like not far away from Mayapur, from Navadvip. So he was a physician, royal physician, and once when he was around, when the Kazi was served by some servants with a peacock feather, with this, how you call that? A fan, yeah. So he saw, and then that reminded him of Krishna, and then he fainted and fell down, and then everybody ran. What happened? You know, he fainted, there must be some problem. So when he woke up again, he said, yeah, I have some disease, don't worry. But the Muslim government was intelligent enough to see that his symptoms were not just ordinary disease. He must be in love of God. So that Mukunda Dasa, he had a son, Raghunandana. And one day he was called by for a duty as a physician, and he asked, Raghunandana was about 7 years old, he asked him, could you offer the boga to the family deity, which was named Gopinath? So he said, Raghunandana, yes, my dear father, I will do it, but Mukunda Das said, but please be careful, this is very important, very serious, do it very diligently, the deity should be fed and he should eat, it's very important. So Raghunandana took it very seriously, he offered the food, and he was waiting, but the food was still there, and he was waiting, and he was asking, my dear Gopinath, please take this food, and the food was still there, so he became afraid. Now my father will come back, he will see I didn't feed the deity, what's the problem, you know, well, that's my fault now. And then he was so afraid that he started crying. And there are different versions of the stories. First I heard that he took a stick, so I thought, okay, that's how they treat Gopinath, they take a stick, and if he doesn't follow what he was told or asked to do, you threaten him, so he complies. But the only written records I found were that there was no stick, just Raghunandana started crying. So Gopinath said, okay, but don't tell anyone, I'll eat it. So he ate everything, he didn't even leave a grain of rice. And then Raghunandana was very happy. His father came back and he said, did you offer? Yes, oh, very nice, can you bring me some maha now? And Raghunandana, well, he ate everything. And Raghunandana was, his father, Mukunda Das, he was, oh, my son wouldn't lie to me, but what happened? So for 3 days and nights, he was very disturbed and he was meditating, what could be the reason for this disappearance of the maha? How could this happen? Because only in the house were, you know, his son. So he came with the idea to ask him again. So he went one day and said, I'm going again, can you offer again? And his son was very enthusiastic. He started offering, and of course Gopinath, once he agrees, he has to follow, he has to do it again. So he started eating, you know, some sweets, but Mukunda Dasa was clever, he went in another way back, so he was watching through, you know, the door, and he was seeing how Gopinath was eating, but Gopinath saw him, and then he stopped. And so this deity is still there. And so Katwa is the place where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. It's like, I don't know, about 1.5 hours with a train. And then Shrikanda is a few kilometers from there. So it's in the family house. I saw, actually, I just before I came, I went to visit this Gopinath, and I saw one of the descendants of Raghunandana. And Gopinath is that small. And he's keeping his hands like that. Not the usual like this, but the flute is like this. And he doesn't have flute, but there is some kind of a white spot where they say this is like the loud left from his top inning. And there are many, many other deities, very beautiful. And nearby, there is one place where very extremely beautiful, very old trees, banyan trees and some other trees, where Raghunandana and Abhiram Thakur danced, and where Lochan Das Thakur wrote under a huge banyan tree, Chaitanya Mangal, and also where Narahari Sarkar's bhajan place was. So it's a very beautiful area. It's just in a rural place there. No, nothing is around. It's just outside the village. So Raghunandan and Narahari, when they danced there, Raghunandan was extremely powerful devotee, and his nupur, you know what is nupur? It's these bells, ankle bells, but not the small ones, but it's like big bells they used for the dance, for the dancing. And so it wasn't uncommon that men also wear nupurs to dance. And actually, who told me? Yeah, Jananivaspuru told me that Prabhupada said men can wear those nupurs during the kirtan, and then at one point even some devotees were dancing with nupurs, and they, because they make very nice sound, these small bells. So when they were dancing with Abhiram, what happened was, you know what, Abhiram Thakur, that's a very powerful devotee of Lord Nityananda, who anyway, that's another story. It's a Shridham. Huh? Yeah. So he came as a, he was Shridham, and then he came, but he had a particular way of preaching, very peculiar, He had a whip. Well, first of all, he was testing whether one is a real devotee or not, and whether the deity is real or not, and the shilas are also, because there are many kinds of shilas, and you don't know. So when his way of testing was, he was offering obeisances, and if the shila is not bona fide, the shila cracked. And if you're not bona fide, you also crack, your heart cracks. So, and he was traveling like that, and then if you survive, then he will whip you with his whip, and then you get prema. So that's, if you survive and get prema in such an easy way, that's a pretty good. But he was coming, and then Mukunda Das, he was afraid, he will come to my son, and who knows what will happen. So he hid Raghunandana in some relative's house. He told me, just go and do something. And Abhiram was looking here and there. And he was going to leave the village, but Raghunandan heard that, he was here, he's such a great devotee. So he ran after him, and they found him, they embraced. He offered obeisances, and nothing happened with Raghunandan. So they embraced, they started dancing, and I think in that place, and when they were dancing, Raghunandan's nupur flew from his feet, from one of the foot, and then landed in another village. I couldn't go there, but they say there is a kunda, where there's nupur kunda, or something like that. So anyway, there are many stories with Abhiram. He also, there's, not just shilas, also deities. And one deity, he was offering obeisances. And that's what Jananivaspuru said, that story. I don't know where is that deity, but that deity started sweating. And then the deity said to Abhiram, why did you do that? And Abhiram said, just to prove that you are real, now everybody, because you started sweating, everybody will, you will consider you much more, they will give you much more respect and offer you like that. So anyway, this is example of how Krishna reciprocates, and devotee is being involved in loving affairs and offering something with great love, and Krishna reciprocates like that too. And the process is just to follow very diligently the instructions, starting from hearing and chanting and worshipping the deity, and being very conscious, very diligent, very earnest, doing it with great attention. And when we are chanting, to be there to see and understand that Krishna is directly present when we chant and when we hear about him, and be fully conscious and aware of and present there. And when we see the deities, also to get impression, like Prabhupada many times said, you look at the deities and you have the impression in your heart, and then during the whole day after that you remember Oh, how Krishna or Radha Krishna, how they were dressed nicely, how beautiful they were. And then you remember them all the time. And after some time, Prabhupada says, when you follow that, he said in one lecture, and you practice very nicely, and one day, he says, you know what is your relationship with Krishna, and you see Krishna in a particular way, and then this love awakens, and then you cannot forget him, even if you want. It's just, he's always there, just like, you know, this example here is because he was so much absorbed with emotional feeling that he couldn't forget. He was, whatever he was doing, the deer was present in his bhava form. But Krishna will be present for us all the time, no matter what we are doing, where we are. And then the process becomes very easy. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, after nishtha even, it becomes easier. Until that, we struggle and fight with this and that and that. But at nishtha, it becomes easy. He compares it with walking up the hill, and then there is that's a struggle, and then there is a, you know, flat surface. You just walk naturally. I always remember that when I walk up there, and then you reach the Plateau du Soleil and start walking flat, and then you're, and then so that's nishtha. And then after that, it's very, very easy. Everything Prabhupada said comes automatically, and the taste and the attachment and the loving ecstatic feelings, and then ultimately Krishna prema, love of God. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. I will stop here. Are there any comments, questions? Yeah, what did you? Yeah, that's the point. I mean, I mentioned yesterday, loving relationships are not a problem if you see them and experience them through Krishna consciousness. If that makes you forget Krishna, that's a problem. If it helps you to remember Krishna, it's not a problem. Any kind of relationship that helps you to remember Krishna more, that's wonderful. But once you develop your relationship with Krishna, then any kind of other relationship becomes pleasing and loving. You know, you see everyone and everything in connection with Krishna, so it's natural to have loving relationships. So the first focus, we shouldn't think, well, first let me establish my other loving relationships, and then I will, think of Krishna. First, we fall in love with Krishna, and then we fall in love with everyone else. That's in a natural way. Yeah. Yeah. Infatuated. Yeah, Prabhupada calls that fear of spiritual identity, and is our deep Mayavadi impersonalistic, you know, contamination that God is a person and we have a loving relationship with Him. So we can have that fear, and that is an impediment, definitely. And we should abandon ourselves. And I mean, try to in any way, in any possible way. That's what the acharyas say. They say it's the only way. This strong longing, laulya, this even greed. That's the word they use. The greed and strong desire and begging. And those devotees, the very advanced devotees, we see in practically almost every song in Narottam Das Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see this strong desire, especially begging the devotees who have that, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in this song, Kabe Habe Bolo, Rasika Rasika Charana Parashu, when I just want to go to those devotees who have that taste and that love, and just by touching their feet, offering them, basically begging them, I'll experience myself the same. and Narottam Dasa Kura, Tadiya Charana Seva Bhakta Sanivas. I want to birth after birth serve those advanced devotees. And that's the way. You know, once they ask Vamshidas Babaji to say, you know, in a very concise way, what is the essence of the practice of bhakti, and he said, "Dake." Dake. One word here is one word. You know, all the philosophy in one word, dake, which means begging. You know, you just beg, and without any fear. Because yeah, we see examples, you know, even in Krishna Lila, like the yagic brahmanas. First of all, of course, they were neglectful to Krishna, and even after that, they understood. They saw the examples of their wives. They understood their mistakes. They were very sorry, but they were fearful to go still, because of their social position, because of their prestige, because of whatever, and afraid of Kamsa. And the gopis were not afraid of anything. They sacrificed. So that's our ideal. That's the perfect example. You want to explain something more about it? Actually, you know, in the same song of Kabeha Belbo, it is exactly the same thing. He says, Nachya Gaya Bera Ibuchu. He says, when I will dance in Nadia and sing and dance and say Gornitai, like a madman, and I will not care for anyone else and any social etiquette. I will just, you know, I wouldn't care about anything. That's what the devotees, they long for, to become crazy. I don't care. Okay.
Okay, so how do you balance the fact that that's our stated goal?
Okay.
That's our official stated goal of being a member of the with an organization or institution where somebody behaves like that?
Well, I can just say that we can follow the examples of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So they were very reserved, very grave, because they had to show the proper example. If you behave crazy, you know, other people who doesn't understand, they or don't understand, they wouldn't appreciate. I actually heard devotees saying after reading, for example, you read the descriptions of Vipralamba on the gopis after Krishna left, or you read, I mean, same, but Lord Chaitanya exhibiting those symptoms in Nanti Lila, I heard devotees saying, that's scary. Is that really, that's what we, you know, want to achieve, you know, like a madman rub your head, you know, and there were stones and kind of, well, yeah. So cry and until blood comes, whatever. So that's, But the example we see in the acharyas, that they give the philosophy, and then they behave externally very social, how to say, very, very grave, very sensible, not crazy. But internally, they experience that ecstasy, and sometimes they cannot. And there are examples, Srila Prabhupada in some places even publicly couldn't restrain himself. At least up to crying, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati once he exhibited all the symptoms, and it was in the house of one very wealthy disciple, or at least a very friendly member of Gaudiya Math. So they were there with a group of devotees and many guests, and for some reason they were talking, and somehow he spontaneously quoted the first verse of Vilapa Kusumanjali by Raghunath Das Goswami, and then he just fell, you know. He fainted. He fainted, exhibited all the Satvika Bhava's and fainted, fell on the ground. And then devotees, you know, they were, what to do. And after some time, he regained consciousness. And then he was very sorry. And he started talking normally, like usually, you know, the straight philosophy. But then he told his close disciples after that, I did a great mistake to be weak and, how to say, fall in that state in front of people who are not qualified to see or to experience. So I think these are examples. But otherwise, all the time he was... unless he was in a close group of devotees who were his disciples for a long time, then he could exhibit different mad symptoms. But otherwise, usually in public places, like Srila Prabhupada, they were very conscious and very strict in that. I don't know if that's what I think we can do about it. Or maybe you mean something more... how we reconcile the two between the institution and the internal development or something. In ISKCON, if you chant Radhe, and then you can get a hit by a danda in front of the deities. That's what happened recently. Yeah. Nupurs, yeah. Where Nupurs? Dancing mat. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree because that's what... It's not, yeah, that's what it's preached, at least I hear many times like that, that it creates that fear of, oh, maybe that's something wrong, and I'm not there, I shouldn't have experiencing these things, whatever, and then there is no positive explanation, at least, or encouragement, doesn't necessarily need to be in a public, exhibited in a public way, but at least that we understand how that actually practically manifests. Although it's described in the books, you say that the culture in ISKCON is a little different, pushes against it.
Says.
Thank you.
It sounds schizophrenic, but we have double identity. We have a profile for the of another face and another person. And we don't have history of such an institutionalized way of practicing, because you look just back, you know, in reading Bhakti Ratnakar, how devotees after Mahaprabhu, Narottam and Dyaras, not little nuts, they were completely nuts. They were just walking, falling, crying, walking a little bit to the other temple, falling, crying, embracing, rolling, screaming, roaring. That's all they did all day, and chanting and then you look, it can be scared to read that, but that's what they did. But still, it's closed doors. Why not in the temple? Well, not during a public program, obviously, but, you know, temple, all devotees, only devotees are there. That's your point, huh? No, I'm saying like that.
Thank you.
Open. Not in this lifetime. It's not possible. And wait. Wait for what? For me. Thank you. Yeah. I think the more important part, it wasn't about the exhibition of the external, the more important part was the culture of repressing anything beyond pure, simple Vaidhi. Any talk about, or any, whatever, is like devotees feel afraid to think, discuss, or what to speak or feel something. This is the more the point here, and I also don't have answer for that. Okay, thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi. Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki jāi.